famous Phil Hendry show. Another hour of great radio. Another hour of cutting edge, really strange, and most likely kind of radio that is going to provoke somebody somewhere to want me arrested. You know, if not deported, but to where and how. We have with us here Jack Armstrong this hour, and he's going to be talking about the U.S. spy program and the spy programs of our so-called allies. You know, that's a good question when it comes to the spy program, something that we've been talking about on this show, and that is, you know, who's spying on who? And when America is once again singled out because we're dumb, because we're, well, because we have the focus of the whole world, and somebody somewhere is looking always to pull Uncle Sam's pants down, what's that mean for everybody else? The French, the Germans, and so forth. Jack Armstrong joining us from the Twin Cities tonight, Minneapolis, St. Paul. He's at Main Street Billiards there in St. Paul, which I seem to remember visiting a few times. Jack, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil. Thank you for having me on the show tonight.
Tell me about the blog you wrote here. You have a blog called Me and My Thoughts, Making Sense Out of the Nonsensical When It Comes to U.S. Foreign Policy. What sense are you making out of this Spygate thing?
Well, you know, I haven't heard it called Spygate, but I guess it was only a matter of time before it's going to be called that. It seems that if there's no creative thinking that goes into these different, I don't even want to call them a scandal, because I don't think it is a scandal. I think it's a scandal maybe if you're a conservative or you just got the Obama disease, which basically means every time you hear the name Obama, you want to, you are programmed to say something bad, you know. But let me just tell you something about this. First of all, there's no way that the European powers that you just mentioned right there, Phil, no way in hell that the European powers is not involved in spying on America and doing all of the things that they say that, you know, that America was doing to them. So that's number one. Number two, it really begs imagination that there would be envy by an H.G. Wells or maybe even a Stephen King to have the gall to act all indignant that the phone's getting hacked of an Angela Merkel, let's say, when the French and the British routinely hack into the phones of American leaders.
Now, you just to interrupt you, how do you know that?
Well, I mean, it stands to reason. You know, it stands to reason that if they're getting paranoid about the phone of Angela Merkel getting hacked into or what have you, that they're going to want to that they're already doing it to Obama. You know, stands to reason.
Well, but if it may stand to reason, but that doesn't actually prove anything, does it?
Come on, Phil. Come on. It stands to reason. If they're upset about Angela Merkel. And the other thing that I don't understand, why would the French and the Italians, the Swedes, the Russians, whoever, what have you, why did they care about Merkel getting her cell phone hacked into? Let me tell you something, Phil. In the years that I've been doing political reporting, there's not too many world leaders in the world who are less interesting and more boring to eavesdrop on than the leaders of Germany. Ever since World War II, the leaders of Germany have kept it squeaky clean, my friend. They keep it on the they may keep it on the down low, but what's down low, it ain't diddly, you know. And that's what we used to say that in political reporting. Whatever's down low in Germany, man, it who cares, you know? They got nothing to say over there. There's nothing juicy. If you're looking for something juicy, you know, you can go ahead and you can hack into a French guy. The guy Sarkozy was the most interesting, you know.
Okay, all of this is very interesting, but, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But, you know, okay, so they're boring and whatever, We did get caught. We are the ones that were caught. And so our dirty laundry is being aired, you know, and how we do things is being looked at. I mean, we can argue all we want about how everybody else is doing it. And I know I've made that argument, but it's frankly, we're the big boy on the block. We're the big fish. People are always looking to knock the biggest guy down. The analogy to the New York Yankees has been made and elsewhere. So how are you really going to get anybody interested in whether the Germans are hacking into people's phones? Like, who cares? You talk about who cares.
Well, I mean, when you say, who care? I care. I mean, I would care. That's why I made the point about Angela Merkel, you know?
But I'm saying if the United States is doing it, that represents, and I think it's a fair assessment, it represents a far greater threat to a country's security than if Germany is, don't you think?
What do you mean by threat? Now, this is America. We don't... You better... If there's somebody going to hack your phone, you better hope it's America and it's not the Chinese or Iran.
No. Not, what I'm saying is America is a more formidable entity to hit. Even as nice a bunch of guys as we are in comparison to the rest of the world, even though there are those that would say that we're the world's greatest terrorist, I don't believe that.
Well, you know, there might have been a time, but I don't think today, not with the Barack Obama as the president of the United States, is that true.
Hold on. I mean, that's fine. I don't want to do a campaign pitch necessarily, even though I know the president's not running, but I don't want to be partisan. What I'm trying to say is that America, right or wrong, some people look at us, and because we are the big boy, that we just represent a much more formidable entity to have this information go freely into the midst of, whether or not, who cares what we're going to do with it, you know?
Well, I mean, look, if I'm Angela Merkel and I look down at my phone one fine spring day and I realize, oh my God, you'll see you're Angela Merkel, and you go, oh my God, my phone got hacked, and it's America that did the hacking, I'm going to feel a little bit better about that, and I don't think I'm going to go running around like a chicken with my head cut off, screaming and crying, and banging on windows, and trying to pry open doors of meetings, and try to get into, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to have a you-know-what fit. But if I look and I say it's Iran, I'm going to be upset. Now, I'm going to turn around and say this to you, Phil. I don't care if it's Iran. I don't care if it's China. I don't care if it's Russia or any of the traditional entities that you and I may think is the bad guys on the block. But if you're hacking Angela Merkel's phone, you must really need the entertainment bad, because there's nothing there. I don't care what the Iranians are going to be hacking into.
Well, how do you know that, man? I mean, look, Germany is privy to America's intelligence because we are NATO partners. So whatever is threatening Europe, if the United States knows something about it, they're going to get that intelligence.
Well, how do you know that? You know,
how do I know that? It's a treaty that we have to share this, especially in this post 9/11 age. The United States cannot risk holding back vital intelligence only to see something happen that may be absolutely earth-shattering, and then it comes out later that we're holding back on intelligence. It's just not an intelligent thing to do.
Well, you know, so, okay, you just said it. America's got... What's Germany got to say about anything? Germany, I don't think they got enough... They couldn't tell us enough to bet the fifth race, you know, at Hollywood Park. I don't think they got a good tip on a harness race, you know? I mean, so what is it you're trying to say to me? Are you trying to say to me that...
What I'm saying to you is and if you disagree, that's fine, and we can move on to another topic here, Jack. We're talking to Jack Armstrong, the author of Me and Myself.
No, it's not called Me and...
Okay, I'm sorry. What's the name of your blog? Hold on. I've got it right here, and forgive me.
It's called My Thoughts and Me.
My Thoughts and Me, a political blog that seeks to make sense out of the nonsensical when it comes to U.S. foreign policy. All right, we're going to be right back, because I know you've been in touch with a German diplomat.
I've got some contacts that I was going to tell you about, but, you know, I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, we're interested. We're going to be right back here with Jack Armstrong as he talks about the intelligence... thing, you know, this intelligence scandal, is that what it is? Or the intelligence imbroglio, is that what it is? Or is it a contretemps? Is it an imbroglio?
What's that?
Never mind. It's, you know, is it a controversy?
Well, it is a controversy. I would say that it is a... It depends on your point of view.
Very good. All right, we'll be right back here on the world famous Phil. So it depends on your point of view as to whether or not, you know, this controversy is a controversy that is a controversy. I don't know. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Sorry, Margaret, we were going to queue up the House of the Rising Sun.
Well, what happened?
Somehow it got uncued, so I know that you are going to be doing a benefit on Saturday night.
Well, it's a benefit of a different... We were going to sing House of the Rising Sun because it's a wonderful traditional blues, folk blues, or folk rock, or alternative folk rock, if you will. About women who have been forced to live as prostitutes. And this will be a benefit, not for women that are living as prostitutes, because that's a problem that I think right now is one that needs more, I think, a more social application, law enforcement, as well as sociological application, not benefit concerts. Excuse me. You can look at me all you want, Phil.
Well, it just ruins everything you're trying to say when you belch like that.
I'm sorry. But this is a benefit for... It's a look back. It's a benefit for me. Not money, but a look back on my life and what I've been forced to live through.
Did you have to be a prostitute?
No, I did not have to be a prostitute. I wouldn't put it that way. In fact, I don't want to say anything more. But House of the Rising Sun is my song, so...
Are you going to be playing or singing it Saturday night?
I am going to sing it Saturday night, but I do want to give people a taste of it here.
Okay. Next break?
Whatever.
Okay, but right... I'm sorry, Margaret, but right now we have Jack Armstrong on the line from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. His blog, which I'm sorry, Jack, I got wrong, is called My Thoughts and Me, a political blog that seeks to make sense out of the nonsensical of American foreign policy. All right, so a lot of conversations we're having here about, but really the bottom line is, are the Europeans spying on us?
Yes, they're spying on us. There's no question that they're spying on us. Anyone who doesn't think that the Europeans are spying on us is a naive little tiny child. You have to be a little teeny baby not to understand that this is the way of the world. This is a grown-up thing. You know, if you're grown up and you live in a real world and you live in the world of grown-ups, then you got to understand how the world of grown-ups works, you know? And
it's a grown-up thing.
Yeah, it's a grown-up. You can be a smart-ass if you want to. And
all right, hold on, bud. Just take it easy.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to tell you something here, okay?
Yeah, I know. You're all talking about grown-up.
Hey, let me tell you what, man. It is a grown-up thing, okay?
No, you're right. You're right. It's a grown-up world, and if we're all grown-ups, then we understand that the espionage, spying, happens everywhere, and that our allies are spying on us. However, it does make for a rather weak argument when you've been caught first, doesn't it?
Well, there's no doubt. I think it's unfair, but there's no doubt that people who are enemies of the Obama administration, people that are enemies of what President Obama has been trying to do and been trying to get done here in the years that he's been president of the United States, they're going to try to say, yeah, America, look at them spying on the allies. And the Republicans are doing that, the Tea Party and the Republicans are people that, you know, it just doesn't matter what kind of mental disease, what kind of weird antic they want to get involved in, they're going to try to, you know, make that seem like it's the most normal thing in the world. But anyway, my whole point...
What are you saying, man? You're babbling along.
Hey, bud, shut up, man.
Wow, who's this guy? What's your story?
What's your story you tell about Obama?
Hey, let me tell... What are you, Tea Party or something like that?
No, I'm not Tea Party. I'm just saying you're blah, 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 blah.
Oh, baby. You know,
Yeah, I mean, there's people out here want to know, and you're just going blah, 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 blah.
Hey, bud, why don't you let the guy finish?
Then let the guy finish. You just talk and talk and talk.
Hey, let me tell you something about how the world works.
You mean how grown-ups are? Because that's all you're talking about.
You know what, man? Who needs this, man? You know, I got, I can go down the street and have a drink. you know?
Well, you can't bury your problems in alcohol, Jack.
I'm not burying my problems. What is this, anyway? All of a sudden, I got a drinking problem or something like this?
Well, look, everybody just back off for a second. We understand that this is a political situation. We understand, I think, that people will seize on anything they possibly can to slam Obama. I don't think that that's a secret. And so Obama's critics tend to lose a lot of their credibility, especially with people that are kind of on the fence or are these, you know, independents or these uncommitted voters, as they call them. When they sort of stand back from the fray and they watch this president just taking every single solitary conceivable shot, whether it makes sense or not. I mean, all these Looney Tunes, you know, with these shots about Obama bringing on the apocalypse.
Well, that right there, you know, TC, that, and when you get this guy, I say guy, when you get this woman back, she, of the two of them, of the husband and her, she's more the guy than he is, you know, Phil? You know?
Okay, that's fine. I mean, let's no more slams on and shots on her husband, okay?
No, but I'm just saying, you know, but this Bachman, who comes from Minnesota, which is like the most disgraceful thing that I think is, she's worse than Jesse the Body Ventura to have this Bachman. She's the worst person to represent the state of Minnesota maybe ever in the history of this state. I never have seen anything like it before. She's a mental case. She's all weirded out, you know. Her husband, yeah, you're right, the guy's a freak on wheels. And Jesse the Body Ventura, who was the worst governor I think we ever had, but Bachman makes that guy look like Abraham Lincoln on steroids, you know. So and with Jesse the Body Ventura, you talk about steroids, man, I'm telling you something, you know, it's for sure, you know.
Okay, but this is why everybody is saying you're getting sidetracked. All right.
What do you mean sidetracked?
What are you talking about, man?
Look, hold on for a minute. Jack, it's Margaret. You need to make your point.
Well, I made my point, you know, that they're spying on us and we spied on them.
Right, I know, but we've got to find a way through the usual finger-pointing. That's why when I do an interview, I want to find out...
Well, what do you want from me? I mean, I'm doing a blog. Why don't you get on some of these brain surgeons, you know, get on some of these big names, these brain... Why don't you get on that Glenn Beck or one of these brain surgeons? That guy, they got no answer. All he wants to do is tear everything down, just take a big fat dump on everything, you know?
Well, that kind of language is not going to help you.
Well, I mean, you know, Mr. Henry brought me on here. I got this guy over here yelling at me.
All he's trying to do is get a point out of you without you repeating yourself.
You know what, man? Someone ought to shut you up, man, with a right hand. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. That's a good fight, man.
All right, take it easy, will you? Jack, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Yeah, you let me go, man, because God forbid I you know, I'm on your show and I look... I'm going to look like a pussy.
All right, thanks so much. I'm not blaming you.
Well, in that case, I don't think Bud was in the wrong. I think Jack Armstrong is a mental midget. I really do.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
He doesn't really pull it all together. He's got his little blog, and he calls himself a progressive. I don't think he knows what he is. But he made the very obvious point that they're spying on us, we're spying on them. We know that, you know that, we all know that. And as you said, Phil, well, how do we pull this all together and make sense out of that? And all Jack can do is flail about. What are you looking at?
You sound like you've got something in the back of your throat.
If you say it sounds like...
No, he didn't say it.
It sounded like you were gurgling.
If you say anything more, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to end... Never mind.
Thank you, Bud, for that.
But she was... It sounded like there was something kind of thick in the back of her...
Never mind. All right, so that was a great interview, I guess. I don't know. But suffice it to say, I think what we learned from that interview is that Angela Merkel, she ain't talking about nothing on that cell phone of hers that's going to interest anybody. It's all just really strictly from hunger. The Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians, those are guys that you don't want hacking your phone. America, it ain't no sweat. They're spying on us, but we're going to get we're taking the majority of the heat for it, and there you go. So that's the end of that. You know what, Jack, if you're listening, and I'm sure that you are, the next time you come on the show, I'll clear out the studio so you don't have to put up with the rest of these people.
I think you need people in. I'm sorry, Jack, if you're still listening, but you're a real motor mouth, a real big mouth.
Yeah, you blah, 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 blah.
Take it easy, okay? No, Jack, what we'll do is have people, you know, we'll clear the studio out so you can just go ahead and...
Motor mouth it?
So you can go ahead and have your opinion. the way you want to. All right, we got Steve Bozell coming up, or do we? No, we don't have Steve Bozell. That's coming up later in the week. I'm sorry. Coming up, we're going to take another look at today's news. We're also going to, we had Bobby Dooley on. She was talking about slapping Steve, and we just had Jack Armstrong on. All right, so we're caught up. So let's review some of the day's news. We get back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. And for those of you that may not know, we're offline tonight because of internet problems. We'll be back up tomorrow night with our usual video cast, and we'll have a bonus video cast for you on Saturday afternoon at philhendryshow.com to make up for tonight's missed video cast.
Woo! That's like Halloween.
Yeah, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night to 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And on Sundays, we have our Game of the Week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman, and had one this past weekend. We'll have another one, although we did get blacked out a couple of weeks ago because of this very problem that we're having here. And by the way, Jeff Dunham, let me explain something to you, Margaret.
Well, I only brought it up to illustrate a point.
No, illustrate no point. I don't rip anybody off, okay? It's been one of the banes of my existence that I've tried to be original with my show. One of the banes of my existence is that I don't do what everybody else does. I don't rip anybody's act off. I don't lift anybody's material. I do everything the way I do it because it came out of my head originally, okay? Rip off Jeff Dunham. Let me tell you something. It's more likely Jeff Dunham's ripping me off. What do you think of that?
Well, he works. He's a ventriloquist.
Great. He's a ventriloquist. Good for him. So he does characters. So do I. So what are you talking about? You know, the problem with this is why talk radio has gone straight into the sewer, man. You can't bring anything creative to this medium. Otherwise, people don't know what to do. You got a bunch of brain-dead blue hairs listening to most of this stuff, and the only thing they know is some guy sitting there on his dead ass talking Tea Party stuff and bringing on a guest and taking on a call, and then that's what they call radio, okay? Bring something creative to this medium. The next thing you know, well, he must be doing Jeff Dunham.
Well, Phil, I didn't say this to get you pissed off. I'm simply saying that's what I saw on Facebook.
Well, now, everybody knows Facebook is the capital of brain surgery. The people over there, man, they're a real cutting edge. If there's one thing I don't do, it's rip anybody off. Do you understand? You understand that?
Yeah, I understand. I didn't say anything.
You may like me, you may hate me, you may this, you may... I don't rip anybody's show off. Ask anybody who actually knows something. No, not talking about some jive-ass commenting on Facebook, and I'm certainly not talking about any clown that does a Tea Party show. I'm talking about people that are real broadcasters. Ask them. They'll tell you, if there's one thing Henry doesn't do, it's rip people off. It's more likely people are ripping me off. And Jeff Dunham, nothing against the guy. He's a very, very popular guy. That's good for him. He's making all kinds of jack. He does a ventriloquist act for some dumbass to say, I'm ripping him off? That, I'll tell you what, if I'm ripping a ventriloquist off, there's a whole lot more that came before him, man, starting with when I was a little kid, Sherry Lewis.
Well, I know, but you did say you admired Sherry Lewis.
Sure, I admired Sherry Lewis when I was a little kid. There was Paul Winchell. There was Sherry Lewis. There was... all kinds of guys that operated with the ventriloquist act. Jeff Dunham, man, he's one in a long line of them. Man.
Well, I didn't say it to get you angry.
Well, you know that that's going to burn me more than anything. I can't stand it when people accuse... Like I said, you don't have to like me, but if there's one thing I don't do, it's rip anybody off. I can't stand it. It's the thing that's killed this medium. It's the thing that kills most art... our artistic mediums are people lifting each other's acts. I don't do it. I ain't gonna do it. I know a lot of people make a lot of money doing that stuff, and maybe that's the way you ought to do it. I ain't gonna do it. Boom! That's it.
Hey.
Thank you. All right. 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Where do we go from here, man? Because we've got we've had no internet access, so we have been cut off from the real world here, man. I wouldn't know. Of course, we do have cable. We've got cable TV. God forbid we'd lose that. But as far as our internet access is concerned, we ain't got any. So I'm going to tell you that, just give you an idea of what is ahead here in the days and the weeks and the months on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I mentioned we're going to be in the San Francisco Sketch Fest. That'll be at the end of January. Bobby Dooley's podcast is moving along ever so swimmingly, and she's got a couple of more that she's going to do. Tomorrow, we may have a shot on a popular show on IFC in January as well. And then we finally got a date for our drunk history, at least where we're going to be taping this, and it'll be on December the 2nd.
Where's it going to be?
I'm not going to say where it's going to be. I'm not going to say where it's going to be. I just know that we're going to be taping on December the 2nd.
Now tell people what drunk history is.
Yeah, you get drunk, right?
No, you don't necessarily get drunk. It's about the whole theme of drunk history, the whole reason why they did the show, the idea for the show came about sitting around in a bar and talking about history. Derek Waters, the guy who created the show and the producer, got the idea because he's a history buff like I am, and he had many a late night conversation, I guess, around a bottle with friends of his talking about historical events. And it proved to be rather amusing the way people who are sharing a drink talk when they're talking about history. And so in order that we do this and not sound like a bunch of drunks in a bar who generally going to get their facts wrong and get this screwed up or get that screwed up, I have to become rather conversant in my topic. Now, they gave me a choice of three topics.
What's your topic going to be?
I ain't going to say, man. I'm not going to ruin it, you know?
Come on, man. You got to give people a reason why they're going to watch.
Give them a reason why they're going to watch.
Wow.
Well, I mean...
Give them a... They're watching for me, man. How about that? They can watch for good old Phil, and then they'll see what I'm going to talk about. Give them a reason.
All right, let it go. Wasn't that big of a thing.
And I'd have pop you for that one, too.
Phil, take it easy. So, let me ask you something. So, you're going to get hammered, and you're going to talk about a historical... subject, right?
I'm not going to get hammered. I'm going to have a couple of pops. See, the thing that I misunderstood about drunk history was that the... what are you doing, bud?
Talking to David. Yeah? See, he's had a couple of drinks.
Who has?
David.
Get him on the phone. Hey, David? David.
Hey, I heard you talking about this drunk history. And I wanted to mention to you that I'm very proud of that you're going to be on there.
You realize you're hammered, right?
I'm not hammered. I had a couple of drinks.
Are you driving?
No, I'm at home right now.
Where's Daphne?
She's asleep, I think. There's something, I shouldn't say, there's something on the bed, and it's going up and down, you know. Yeah, I think it's breathing, so... Don't tell her I said it.
Yeah, you're drunk, man.
So I'm drunk.
So did you call in drunk because I'm talking about drunk history, or you were already drunk?
I was already drunk.
So you're calling in because you're already drunk and I'm talking about drunk history?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? It seemed like a pretty good time.
Well, you know, I mean, it's fine, David, and you're welcome to call in, but I don't think that that's really the point.
Wait, you're talking... Talk about it, you're better than me or something?
What's that?
Are you better than me?
No, I'm not better than you.
You did talk to me about it.
Mr. Hart, he's not saying he's better than you.
Hey, shut up. Okay.
Well, I hang up on him.
I'm not going to have that drunk talking to me on the phone on the air. Are you kidding?
Well, I wonder why he did that.
There's something on the bed moving up and down. I think it's Daphne. Anyway, there's a reason right there. There's a classic example of why you don't want to have a guy on there talking about history while he's ready to puke into a toilet. See, I saw a clip of that back when it was on Funny or Die. But here's the thing, and this is what I was told. I said to the guys, look, I'm not going to be comfortable going on the show drinking so much that I'm puking my guts up, and absolutely they agreed. And so that's not what it's about. It's about having a couple of pops and talking about something from the standpoint, from a historical subject that you really like. One of the shows that I did see looked very comfortable. I forget who the narrator was, but he looked extremely comfortable. He's got a bottle of cognac. He's sitting in an easy chair, and he's talking about a historical subject that is near and dear to his heart. And I think in this instance it was, it might have been the Statue of Liberty or something like that, how the Statue of Liberty came to the United States. So they gave me a choice of three topics.
Can you tell us what the three was?
Well, I don't want to, man. It's just going to ruin it, okay?
Well, if people are going to be watching for you, Phil, it won't matter what the topics are.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. I would do it if it was up to me, but I gotta, maybe the producers don't. I'll check with them first, man. You know, you don't want to, in this day and age of everybody listening to everything and stealing from everybody.
But you don't rip off Jeff Dunham.
No, I don't. So Jeff Dunham can consider himself lucky. In this day and age where everybody else is ripping people off, I don't think I want to do that. So I got three topics, and I picked one, and now I'm reading up on it and getting, you know, very conversant with it. I already knew a lot about this particular topic because that's why I picked it, but I'm going to really, you know, get a good background on this because a lot of the people who work over on the show are grad students. Some of them are history majors and so forth, and they do a lot of the fact-checking and a lot of the research. So then we go over, we sit down, and as if you're having a conversation with someone, you have a couple of pops, and boom, that's what it's all about.
Now, when you say a couple of pops, Phil, you are drinking to the point of intoxication, isn't that right?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes or no, are you or are you not drinking to the point of intoxication? Yes or no?
Don't tell me to...
Well, Phil, I think we are entitled to a yes or a no.
No.
You lie...
I'm kidding. Yes. How many? Two shots of tequila, you're going to feel a buzz.
That's all I want to know.
Great. And for that information, you have to sing House of the Rising Sun when we come back.
Well, I don't.
No, you do. All right. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, even though we are not online tonight, you should get yourself a backstage pass. A backstage pass gives you access to 5,000 hours of audio, our nightly video casts, our podcasts. Oh, baby, our characters, our daily podcast from the radio show, the news feed, all kinds of webisodes, all kind of thing at philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray now singing a song that is significant to her life that she'll be singing at Saturday night's benefit. Margaret?
Thank you very much, Phil. This song is important to my life.
There is
a house in New Orleans. They call it the Rising Sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor girl. Thank God it was my ruin, but I found my way out in time.
That doesn't even rhyme.
Would you, hold it up, for God's sake. What did you say?
That doesn't even rhyme.
Well, it doesn't.
It didn't? What kind of people are you? What manner of human are you people? I'm singing a song about me and what I had to wade through to get to where I am today.
I understand.
Well, no, I don't think you do understand. We have to start all over again. Gene Klecka, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have an accompaniment, do I?
No, this is a recording.
All right.
You gotta make it rhyme.
If you don't...
Shut up, bud.
You tell him to shut his mouth. A song that is my life. There is a house in New Orleans. They call it the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor girl. The sewage that I had to swim through. God, it sickens me.
That doesn't rhyme.
Turn it off. If he said...
Bud, would you be quiet?
Ain't it supposed to rhyme?
What do you mean, ain't it supposed to? It does what I want it to do. The song goes where I go, bud. I don't go where the song goes. It goes where I go. And if my instinct tells me... Have you ever heard of talking blues? Talking blues. Phil, you know what that is?
Yes, they talk along and sort of improvise the lyrics a little bit.
Yes, that's what I'm doing, you dumbass. So sit back, relax, and learn something.
I don't gonna learn nothing. I'm gonna be blues.
What? Was that even English?
Never mind. Just go ahead. Bud, be quiet for once in your life, for once in your ever-loving life. Shut up, will you?
Somebody's got to hold her feet to the fire.
You're going to hold...
Hey, watch it, watch it.
Beat his ass. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud of what I've been able to achieve in my life, but like so many young women in this country, I had to step very high through filth. There is a house in New Orleans. Oh, they call it the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of so many young girls. Fortunately for me, I snuck out one night through the filth and the sewage and made my way to freedom. Go ahead, tell me it doesn't rhyme. I dare you to tell me it doesn't rhyme.
I'm not going to say anything.
You better believe it. My mother was... Well, you get the general idea, don't you? So...
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, turn it off. God, I hate the...
You hate it?
Well, I don't hate it, but Eric Burdon...
Woo!
In any event, Phil, that is the song...
Now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
You talk about in that song how you had to swim through a river of filth and...
No, she had to step high through some sewage.
Yes, I... Thank you, Bud. I didn't have to swim through a river of filth so much as I had to... I guess you'd say, Phil, gather my skirts about me and high step through a lot of sewage. You know?
Not really, I mean, but I guess the point being...
Yeah, the point is that I had to high-step through a lot of sewage and filth.
All right, so there's no real difference.
No, yes, there is a difference. Yes, there is a difference. Are you listening to me? I did not swim through a river of sewage. I had to pull my dress up and high-step through filth, sewage.
Yeah, you high-stepped it.
Yes.
You high-stepped it. What does that mean, exactly?
It means that when I was a young lady looking to get out of the filth and the degradation that I was raised in, figuratively, you know that I grew up wealthy, but I'm saying, in terms of my emotional state, I had to pull my dress up, all right, I'll say it, above my ass. Are you happy now? You got the truth out, Phil? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. You're such a child.
You know, Mr. Evans is laughing because you talk about high-stepping and everything like that.
Yes, because I high-step... Why is that so funny?
What difference does it make if you swam through a river of filth or you high-stepped through sewage? What difference does it make?
In one instance, you swim. In the other instance, Bud...
You high-step.
Thank you.
All right, so you high-stepped through sewage... Oh, and you had to gather your skirts up.
Yes, above my ass.
Above your ass.
Yeah, here's Phil Hendry. Above your ass. There, you happy? Now you just broadcast it to everyone?
That's pretty much what we're doing tonight. Broadcasting to everyone. Were you not wearing underwear? I mean, what is the...
How dare you go there?
Yeah, but that's a good point if you had to pull it up above your butt.
The fact is, no, I was not. If you must know... You're getting very personal, Phil.
Margaret, you're the one that volunteered all of this specific information, even though it's symbolic. You're not talking in any real sense. You're right. You were raised wealthy because you told me so. Your father had money. Your mother had money. The whole family had money. But somehow in your mind, you had to pull yourself out of degradation and filth.
No, not in my mind. Emotionally and psychologically, I had to pull myself up out of a sewer. A sewer that I was in, and I had to get out, Phil.
What was the sewer you were in?
The sewer I was in was my instinct. I wanted to be an adult film actress, and by God, it was something forget it, I'm not going to even talk about it. He's laughing.
I'm not going to laugh.
I'm going to belt you, man, I swear to God.
Well, Ms. Gray, I understand.
Thank you, Robert.
So the sewage that you had to pull yourself, Margaret...
No, never mind.
So the sewage she pulled herself out of?
Yeah, ma'am. She wanted to be an adult film actress and had to pull herself out of that sewer. Yeah, she made the sewer. I don't care if she made the sewer. She might have made it, but now she's stuck in it.
I hope you die.
Yeah. She made it, and now she's stuck in it. And what is it? She wanted to be an adult film actress.
That's right. Ask any young girl.
Okay. Oh, man.
Well, you think it's funny, Phil. You know, God forbid any daughter of yours wind up that way.
Well, I got news for you. I have a stepdaughter, and she's a fine young lady, and she isn't going to wind up anywhere near that. So don't you worry yourself, okay?
Oh, well, aren't you lucky?
No, not lucky. No, not lucky at all. She was raised very, very well by her mother, and she's a great kid. And because you had to pull yourself up out of a sewer of your own making to be... So that's the sewage that you had to high-step through, gathering your skirts about your waist, showing your ass, and in those days you didn't wear...
I'm going to have a white owl.
Yeah, you go out and have a white owl. So there you go, folks. You got me. World-famous Phil Henry Show will be coming back here, and we will re-engage on the debate over the Washington Redskin name. Whether they should be the Redskins, whether they should be the whatever the hell they ought to be, the Bravehearts. I think that we're all united in the sense and the feeling and in the absolute conviction that Braveheart, no. I'd rather they stay the... Well, I shouldn't say that. I'd rather they have no name. How about that? Why do they have to have a nickname?
What? What are you talking about? What do you about put on the side of a helmet? You put like a big zero. A big zero? That's Oregon.
That's Oregon. Woo! No, man, that means O for Oregon. How about if they just call themselves the Washington Football Club? How about if they do a little kind of a throwback thang like that, man? The Washington Footballs. I don't know. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be back next hour with that very engaging discussion. And in the meantime, just remember Margaret. Think of her this weekend at her benefit. She'll be high stepping through the sewage.
I hope you die.